a very good evening to you. Here we are, another Sweet and Swing. Friday evening, my favourite time of the week. And I do hope it is yours as well. What have we got? How about some Piano Power? A new little mini-series of, well, Piano Power hit greats from our era, I hasten to add. More from our Gracie, world's greatest jazz band. A bit of Fats. In fact, to get going, why not clap your hands? Because here comes Charlie. Not a bad way to get going, is it? Clap hands. Here comes Charlie, which was nicked, if you remember. If you're of a certain age, well, you have to be a complete other age to remember Chick Webber, I'd imagine. But if you're of my sort of vintage, you might remember that was nicked by a certain chocolate company. Clap hands, here comes Cadbury, I think was the slogan. I suppose they didn't have to pay any royalties on that, I guess, at the time. Clap hands, here comes Cadbury. Clap hands, drinking chocolate. Yep, it's amazing how those things stick in your mind. Other chocolate brands are available before anyone says anything. But yeah, wonderful stuff. And clap hands, here comes Charlie, the original number, given a great outing there by Chick Webb and the boys back in the 1930s. Chick Webb, one of those characters I'd love to have met, in that he, A, overcame severe difficulties to rise to the top of the profession in his job. He was black as well, which wouldn't have necessarily helped him, of course, as we know, with racism being the way it was, and still sadly is, although we like to think it's getting better. We like to think that. And also the fact that he was meant to be a really nice guy who genuinely, despite all the difficulties he'd had to get in where he was in life, really cared about others. And right towards the end of his life, when he was in great pain, carried on playing for a long time just in order to make sure the boys in the band all had work. He was born in Baltimore, although quite when he was born, one of those ones where it's subject to debate. If you look at Mr. Wiki in some sources, they all say, well, 1905, and that is on the census. Now, if the census is accurate, you'd think that was a bit of a given, but who knows? I don't know how accurate the census were in those times. In other parts, you will find in the Downbeat magazine article, The Rise of a Crippled Genius, they said he was born in 1909. And also, that is the year which appears on his grave marker when he was buried in later in the decades, as it were. So take your pick. Suffice to say that he was one of four children, and the other three were sisters. And when he was very young, he fell down the stairs in his family's home, crushing several vertebrae that required surgery. Surgery wouldn't quite be in 1900 and whatever it might be, 10 or 12, quite what it is now, I dare say. He never fully regained mobility, and the injury progressed to be tuberculosis of the spine. Stayed with him throughout his life, gave him short stature and a sort of a rounded back. It looked like he was a bit of a hunchback. But his doctors at the time, or his doctor, said you should try playing some instrument to loosen up your bones. And so he went and worked as a newspaper boy and saved enough money to buy some drums. And the rest, as they say, is history. Was one of the best drummers of the swing era. And I think it was it him and Gene Krupa or something? Had a bit of a drum off one time. It was either him and Louis, or him and Gene. Can't remember which. And they admitted Chick wiped us off the stage. That's the sort of player he was. Yeah, we've got a new mini-series starting, I thought. I dug this one out of the vaults. Piano Power. 20 Jazz Piano Classics. And it's everything from Jelly Roll Morton through to Dodo Marmarosa at the sort of bebop side of things. So right from the very early parts of jazz right the way through to bebop-style playing as well. And all, by the way, such things as Clarence Pinetop Smith, James P. Johnson, Mead Lux Lewis, so some good boogie-woogie, the wonderful and much underrated Mary Lou Williams, and the not underrated but wonderful still Count Basie. So we're going to start off a list of several weeks' worth of those little mini-series of Piano Power at some stage, carrying on as well with Gracie and the World's Greatest Jazz Band as well, little mini-retrospectives. But before any of that, I think a few vocals might be in order. How about a gal in calico, Alan Dean, with Ambrose and the orchestra?
Sunday bowl till I rode away. Do I want her? Do I want her love? Yes, sirree. Will I win her? Will I win her love? Wait and see. And with a rodeo, go from town to town. See most every kind of gal, every kind of gown. But who made my heart sing? Yippee-i, yippee-o, my little gal in calico.
Gal in Calico. A Gal in Calico. Yes, good number. Haven't heard that one for a while. Very nice one, that. Alan Dean with Ambrose and the orchestra. Calico. Yes, well, it was the cloth was named after the place. Calico was a place, wasn't it, I think? And then the cloth calico was named after the place. Is that right? Like denim's named after Nîmes? Denim? Cotton from Nîmes? Am I making this up? I think I'm right, vaguely, in that. I always remember my nana talking about calico being a cheap cloth that you could, you know, blow your nose on and things. But, I'll check that. Calico, I'm fairly certain, is a place. I'm sure the girl wasn't actually in a hanky, so she must have been somewhere, wasn't she? Good stuff, good sound as well. He had a very sort of rounded, quite modern sort of sound, Alan Dean, I think, in many ways, old Deany. Sang for a goodly number of years, sang with Billy Cotton as well, I think, didn't he? Time for a bit of Fat Swaller. Can never go wrong with a bit of fats, and there's no shortage of fats to choose from, and that there's always something in the bag, and there's several more lurking in the background as well, and I never tire of hearing him. Someone else who always hasn't dated at all, I think, sounds just as fresh and modern and musical and amusing now as he did 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. Here's one which I hope doesn't apply to you, me, or anyone else. Cheating on Me.
Cheating on me, you've been cheating on me. Oh, babes, you're not the kind of a sweetheart I hoped you'd be. I trusted you, thought you'd be true. My love was so strong that I went along, never dreaming that, baby, you'd do me wrong, wrong, wrong. Love is a game, and I played, yes, I played on the square. Yes, but you're not the kind you come in your dog who could ever play fair. Well, one thing, I may forgive, but as sure as you live, someday you're gonna be awfully sorry, babe. You cheated on me. You'd forget it if you knew all the squares I played on. You're just the kind. Yes, babes, I understand. I recognize everything you're doing. You ain't gonna never play fair. I have to draw my crooked dice out on you. I may forgive. Yeah. But just as sure as you live, someday you're gonna be doggone sorry. Listen, Heifer, you cheated on me. Forget it. Give it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
a man who was often known as the Octopus, because he seemingly seemed to be doing more things than you had hands for, as it were. Tal Farlow. And yes, he was perhaps more than anyone other than Charlie Christian, influenced so many jazz guitar players after him, and used, like I said, those techniques. You heard it a little bit there, that you tap his guitar for percussive effects, either making a sort of snare drummy type sound. You had a little bit there, check, tick, check, tick. You know, you could sort of hear it go in the background, just giving that lovely percussive drive behind the actual playing of the guitar as well. Also used harmonics as well on the instrument to add some extra sound, or sometimes like a sort of hollow backbeaty sort of sound, like bongos. And his ability to do this at the same time as playing the tune and such, like playing the melody and doing the finger picking, gave him this nickname of the Octopus. First came to public attention really late 1940s when he was in a trio, a bit good trio, Red Norvo, Tal Farlow and Charles Mingus on the bass. And then 1953 was a member of the Gramercy Five, led by Artie Shaw, and 2 years later went on to lead his own trio, which we've just heard there, the Tal Farlow Trio. No drums, don't really need it when you can give those percussive sounds. Eddie Costa piano, Vinnie Burke on the bass, and that was recorded in May of 1956. Before that, well, of course, Cheating on Me, Fats Waller. I like that one. You don't often hear that one. There's some Fats Waller, like all tracks like Glenn Miller and Artie Shaw, there's always the tracks you hear a lot of, and then some tracks you hear very little of. Cheating on Me, you don't hear as often, I don't think. But typical, with nice, slower, mid to slow tempo sort of number for Fats. Great lyrics and his inimitable style of doing it, which, like I said, I think is very timeless and fits in. You could imagine him doing sort of scatting or being a hip-hopper or doing that sort of stuff, beatboxing or something, if he was around today. You'd have thought that'd been right up Fats Waller Street. Whether you like it or not, I do believe that's where he probably would have headed. Who knows where Gracie Fields would have headed? She was another bit of a polymath, a male actress and singer and writer and, oh yeah, great stuff. And again, some very, very well-known ones and some slightly less well-known ones. I would suggest this might be falling into the latter category. Walter Walter.
We've been courting for years, but he's never asked me to wed. When leap year comes round, I give 3 hearty cheers. Ippy-pray, 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 because I do the asking instead. I don't want to die an old maid, so I sing him this serenade. Walter, Walter, lead me to the altar, I'll make a better man of you. Walter, Walter, buy the bricks and mortar, and we'll build a love nest for two. My bottom drawers are packed and ready, my bridal gown's as good as new. Walter, Walter, lead me to the altar and make all my nightmares come true. Walter, Walter, Mother said you ought to protect me while she's in the mood. You know I'm very fond of chicken. We'll raise a lovely little brood. Walter,
Definite echoes of music hall there, isn't there? Glad it didn't go any higher. Could have smashed a few panes of glass if it kept going up a tone every other verse. Yeah. Gracie Fields, who else, with a sad little ditty, like I said, straight out of the music hall, that one, isn't it? Very, you could see that in the good old times, or under proper gaslight, limelight as it was back in the day. Gracie Fields with the, but it's, again, it's got that cheeky, a mixture of sort of quite sad, very musical, cheeky seaside postcard style, isn't it, in many ways. Yeah, lead me to the altar and I'll show you where I've got a tattoo. I mean, yeah, that's straight out of the seaside postcard, isn't it? But there again, it was, you know, she was a Lancashire lass, so not that far from the sea. And it was a little bit sort of cheeky, a bit like George Formby's and such like. That was a way. Good northern salty humour, as they say. Tis Sweet and Swing, H with you through until the top of the hour. Lovely to have your company as we launch forth into February 24. Oh, Lord. Have you started your Christmas shopping yet? No. I'll leave it until the 20th of December, as I usually do. Perhaps you might like a little dance. I don't know. Mantovani and his orchestra. We haven't had Mantovani on for a while. Get out your ranchos. Well, put a hat on in any case. I think there used to be a crisp at one stage, ranchos, didn't they? There was some sort of salty crisp, I seem to recall. Have a rummage in the cupboard. There might be a packet at the back.
Blanket of starlight he wooed her, with a rancho serenade. On the breeze was the perfume of roses, soft guitar, their mellow music played, as he sang of a love everlasting, to a rancho serenade. As they kissed and he whispered, "Yo te amo," she knew with the dawn they must part. But the memory of his Io te amo will live forever in his heart. Now at twilight when shadows are falling, she awaits a lover unafraid. In her heart she can still hear the echo from a rancho serenade.
Rancho's Serenade, Mantovani and the orchestra, with the vocals being taken there by Jimmy Messine, or Messini, take your pick. His real name was James Messine, or Messine, M-E-S-E-N-E, but he was known generally as Jimmy Messini, I-N-I. A great variety act, singing there, of course, or taking the vocals with Mantovani, but perhaps better known as a great successful variety act with one Al Boley. Sadly, that was cut short when Burley was killed in the Blitz. Good guitar player as well, from all accounts, and a vocalist with quite a few bands over the years. He sang with Nat Ginella, with Teddy Joyce, Joe Loss, Jack Payne, Billy Thorburn, and Mantovani there as well, as we heard. He died in Montreal in Canada in 1969. Don't know why he went out to Montreal. Maybe he had some work out there. Good place if you've never been to Montreal. Worth it. Nice little jazz club there. I'm sure there are probably several jazz clubs, but I've been at least to one. Can't think of the name of it now, so I can't tell you what it was. It was the, what was it called? No, it won't come back. Anyway, it was a good jazz club and I had a very nice night there. Okay, time for some piano power. I told you we're going to do this, so a little mini-series of piano greats, I would say, from a collection I found lurking in the back of the cupboard, just called Piano Power, 20 Jazz Piano Classics, taking us through from Early Doors through to bebop, but not beyond. That's where it stops pretty much. The last one is a Dodo Marmarosa. So we'll start at the beginning. King Porter Stomp with Jelly Roll Morton. Player he actually was, a great brand of syncopation and really highly individual drive, and then never better displayed than in King Porter Stomp there, Jelly Roll Morton at the keyboard, from this great collection, which, as it says in the liner notes, since the very beginning of jazz, the piano, both as a solo instrument and also in ensembles of various sizes, has been important in the development of jazz. And during the first two decades of the 20th century, before the arrival of radio and TV, piano playing, of course, a major form of domestic entertainment, in that, yeah, you'd basically make your own entertainment. Not a bad thing in many ways. Player pianos, of course, which reproduce performances mechanically from punched paper rolls, served to spread ragtime, originally the immediate predecessor to jazz, to a wider public. Yeah, absolutely. And it's still, well, still super popular, isn't it? People still really like all sorts of jazz. And that's the whole thing. I think they all exist together. So people still love early jazz. And of course, there's modern and contemporary jazz, as featured, I should say, tomorrow evening, jumping in, Saturday night. Modern and contemporary jazz from around the globe with myself and brother Chris. Check it out. There's always something interesting there. And I always wonder where some of these great early jazzers would have gone had they either lived a lot longer or been born later and sort of seen the different styles and certainly different technologies, recording technologies, musical technologies, different instruments, etc., etc. Always a fascinating argument. Good fireside with that one over a glass of whiskey or two. Why not? Frank Weir and his orchestra. Oh, if you want to know why Jelly Roll was called Jelly Roll, look it up. Best not to talk about it here, I don't think. Frank Weir and his orchestra. What's he going to do? Surrender.
Without a kiss, surrender. I beg you, surrender. How long can your heart resist? I'll bring
you
a love you can claim.
From the depth of my heart,
a love that won't be untrue.
You must believe me, it's my promise to
so
you.
So please be tender, and darling, surrender
be mine,
and love me
as I love you.
Surrender, Frank Weir and the orchestra, and the vocals being taken by, I think it's Jimmy Carroll, I think, on that one, was it? It was Johnny Carroll, I beg his pardon. Johnny Carroll and the Radio Revelers and Frank Weir. Yeah, good band back in its day. Not one of the better known ones. Well, I always think not as well known as, you know, your Ambroses and such like, but a fine sound. As so many of these, I mean, they were just full of really good musicians, and they weren't going to do anything other than make a fine sound in many ways. There's very few, I think, you would listen to and think, well, they're a bit rubbish. They've all got a great round sound. They'd always have good orchestrators. They'd always have good composers working for them or been playing some of the great American standards. So chances are you're going to end up with some really good music. And the fact that we're listening to it now, 70 plus odd years later, would seem to Well, seemed to prove that point, wouldn't it, one way or another? Right, World's Greatest Jazz Band. I better get a bit of the World's Greatest Jazz Band in, because I missed out last week, didn't I, because we ran out of time. So what about then if we actually hear a little bit of Yank Lawson introducing the boys, and then we'll go into Panama. How about that? So let's hear Yank Lawson introducing the World's Greatest Jazz Band, or WGJB, as it became known, and then we'll go straight into Panama.
I'm Yank Lawson, and that's my partner, Bob Haggard. I'd like to introduce you to the rest of the members of our group. First of all, Gus Johnson, Jr., on the drums. And Ralph Sutton at the piano. Bob Wilbur, clarinet and soprano saxophone. Vic Dickinson, trombone. Bud Freeman, saxophone. And on the other trombone, Ed Hubble. I knew there was somebody else. Billy Butterfield.
Ah, yes, not too bad at all. The world's greatest jazz band, Manchester's Free Trade Hall, England, 1971. The first time, I think, they came over to this side of the pond. And we've been hearing about some of their very checkered and very colourful history, it has to be said. How they came about and the money disappeared and how, well, it never actually made any money at all. It did play at President Nixon's inaugural ball in 1970, we heard as well, and the classic version of the band stayed together for some time. Yank Lawson and Bob Haggart had been friends since they came together in 1935, and at that time they formed what was the Bob Crosby Band, both very gifted players, both very accomplished boozers. Jazz and booze does seem to go together for an awfully long time. Maybe not so much these days, but back in the day it most certainly did. It was a manner of, or just a way of life for touring bands of the time. Billy Butterfield, who joined the Crosby Band in 1937, also was fond of the odd dram. And it's pointed out in the notes, this version of the WGJB may be described in more senses than one as matured in the wood. Yes. Haggart and Lawson often called upon to play at Bob Crosby Band reunions, and they go way back to they've been friends since the mid-30s, and then Bob Crosby Band was formed from 1951 through 1960. They led what was known as the Lawson-Haggart Jazz Band, taking its music from the classic jazz repertoire of the 1920s. Both men had worked for Louis Armstrong back in that decade in an ambitious collection of recordings done as Satchmo, a musical autobiography, in 1957, and Lawson took the role originally played by King Oliver in Armstrong's early career. As I say, yes, a lot of booze involved. We might dwell a little bit more on that next week. I don't know. We'll think about it. In the meantime, let's have a bit of Mel Torme to finish off this evening. Why not?
I've never met you, yet never doubt, dear. I can't forget you, I've thought you out, dear. I know your profile, and I know the way you kiss. Just the thing I miss on a night like this. If dreams are made of imagination, I'm not afraid of my own creation. With all my heart is here for you to take. Why should I quake? I'm not awake. Isn't it romantic? Music in the night, a dream that can be heard. Isn't it romantic? Moving shadows right, the oldest magic word. In the trees above, while all the world is saying you were meant for love, isn't it romantic? Merely to be young on such a night as this. Isn't it romantic? Every note that's sung, is like a lover's kiss. Sweet symbols in the moonlight, do you think that we could fall in love perchance? Isn't it romance?
It most certainly is. And I'll see you this time next week. Cheerio.